Welcome, everyone. I have a brief announcement before we get started. With the rain coming, exit the double doors in the hallway towards the lawn. There are tents. Pick up your food from under the tent. Come back into the building through the outside Deshay door, and they'll guide you. Follow the tents. Once inside, you can sit inside in Deshay or in the sanctuary. There are high top tables in Deshay and also in the lobby for you to stand and eat as well. So that's at lunch. We have guidelines for a church safety and security team presented by David Johnson.
Start my timer so I don't go over. My name is David Johnson. We'll be talking about church safety and security. As I said, this session is going to be a little more geared towards setting up and organizing a team and some of the things that you should be aware of while doing that. Second session will be more geared towards people that are currently serving in that capacity. Don't want to go too fast here. Just as an introduction, this is me, this is my background, 8 years in the military. I'm currently serving as a on church security team down in Texas. I was on this church's church security team for a little while, and I am currently a licensed private investigator in New York and in Texas. All right, so before we get into it, I kind of want to take a second to go through some of the definitions. I'm going to be using some terminology, I'm going to be using some words, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page while I speak and use these words. So first one here, real quick, safety and security infrastructure. That's just a comprehensive term to talk about the entire organization, the entire network, all of the practices, all of the procedures that you've got put in place that are helping to secure your church. Okay. Acts of hostility, I threw this one in there because I'll be referencing an FRC study here in a minute, and they use the term acts of hostility to define the actual things that they're, the metrics that they're looking at. The last three here I want to spend a second talking about the difference, big difference between safe or safety and security. So think of safe and safety as the condition, the desired condition. We want our congregations, we want our churches, we want our gatherings to remain safe. So that's the desired condition that we want it to remain in. When we start moving kind of out of that realm of safe or safety, that's when we'll start implementing security and security measures. When it comes to the term security, big thing here to remember is that there is certain standards that come along with using that term. According to the state of New York, they have a licensing and training procedure for you to call yourself a security guard, okay? Security, as an overarching term, is the enforcement mechanism that we're gonna use to maintain a safe condition. When we start getting outside of the barriers of that safe condition, that's when you're gonna implement security measures and security personnel to get you back into that safe condition, okay? So again, it's gonna be really important to understand that when you use that term security, if you're labeling yourself as a security team, if you're labeling yourself as a security guy, a security individual, then you have to understand that there are licensing and training requirements that go along with that. And when you, as a church leader or as a member of a security and safety team, present yourself to the congregation as a member of security, then they are gonna have in their mind a certain ethical standard that has to be upheld, okay? They're gonna look at you as someone who is able to operate in the capacity as security. If you are not licensed or trained to do that, and you're calling yourself security, then you're operating outside of what New York State, or whatever state you're operating in, what they've laid out as the guidelines and the rules for doing that. So I just wanna make sure that we understand that we're using the terms here properly. There is a big difference between safety and security. If you have no licensed security guys on your team, you are by definition just a safety team. You are not a safety and security, you are not a security team, okay? So I just wanna make sure. And then security measures, we'll get into that a little bit more there, but those can be passive measures that you put into place, as in like watching security cameras, locking certain doors. These are things that you can do even prior to setting up a team. And there is a number of things that you, if you don't have a safety and security team in your church, that you can do prior to establishing a team that can help make your congregation, your gathering more safe, okay? I'm gonna move through this pretty quick here. This is the FRC study that I was talking about. I'm gonna breeze through this. If you actually wanna take a look at this, I have a resources slide at the end where you can actually go to it and look at yourself. I would encourage you to do it. In 2024, they released this, and it just shows that over the course of 5 years, the increase in acts of hostility. So these are things that have happened inside of churches, be it violent or nonviolent, that have happened inside of churches that have caused some sort of security reaction, okay? And as we see, the big takeaway is that over 5 years, that the numbers of those, the frequency of those incidences have increased. And just in 2023 alone, you can see, especially in the summer months, that it gets much more frequent. And this is across the entire country. And here you can see the darker blue states are the ones that have more frequency of these acts of hostilities happening in their states. As you can see, New York is a little bit darker on there, so you want to be aware of the context that you're operating in. Okay, so like I said, I would encourage you to take a look at that study. If you want that, I can provide that to you. All right, so we're going to get into, now this is before you even have set up a team. If you're somebody representing a church here and you're like, okay, I'm thinking about the safety and the security situation at my church, I just use this as an example. This is the map you guys should be familiar with. This is the one that they're using for the conference today. But these are the types of things that you're going to want to consider while you're thinking about, is my church secure? Is my church safe? You're going to want to look at where your locked and unlocked doors are. You're going to want to look at the parking lots. A lot of things happen in parking lots before it even comes into the building. You're going to want to know if you have cameras, where your camera locations are, where your blind spots are. You're going to want to know the flow of traffic. So when people enter the building, how they're moving within the building, how they exit. And then other access into the building and into secure areas, okay? Especially kids' areas or areas where there are people, sensitive people that are being taken care of, okay? Now, kind of by security doctrine across the board, if you start looking at some sort of security review plan or something like that, you might see something that looks like layered bubbles on it, and that's kind of what I've done here. I've used the Mission Church as an example, and this is a way for you to kind of determine the more important areas if you have a smaller team where you should be focusing your attention, where you should be focusing your efforts. We have three different layers. I've just used purple, yellow, and red. They could be any colors that you designate. They may look different in other reports. But obviously, the actual main building is going to be your red zone. This is going to be the part that you're like, okay, I need this. This is priority for keeping safe. If I only have two guys, then their attention is going to be primarily focused there. Moving outside of the red, you look into the yellow, that's going to be your parking lots. That's going to be your exterior zones that are still on your property and important to maintain attention in, but you may not have an actual physical presence there. What's important to keep in mind here is that most of your actual physical presence of your team or of your resources or your security measures are going to be here, but your attention and your focus should actually be looking out into your yellow zone. You want to try to catch threats before they come into your primary red zone, okay? Moving outside of the yellow, we've got, it's just the purple zone. This is going to be your surrounding community, the surrounding town. You just want to have an awareness of what's going on out there. What are the sympathies of the people in your town? Know the demographics of the people in your town. If it's a primarily Christian town, if it's primarily Muslim town, if there's people that are going to disagree with some of the messages that are coming out, you just want to know what is going on in your community. And good ways to do that is keeping a bead on social media. Local social media accounts in your town, keeping an open dialogue with local law enforcement, police agencies, and I'll get more into that as we move forward here. But it's just maintaining a situational awareness. So this is where your physical presence is going to be. You not necessarily may have a physical presence in your parking lots and on your property, but you want your attention to be focused there. This is where you want to catch threats before they enter the red. And the purple is more going to be, we want to maintain an awareness of something that might come into our zone. Okay. So just some other considerations. Obviously, budget is going to be a big thing here. A lot of these things are going to cost money, especially if you're talking about bringing on actual licensed security guys. That's going to come with a cost. If you don't have cameras and you want to set up cameras, if you want to set up locking mechanisms on your door, there is a budget. You're going to have to operate within that budget. You may need to justify to your church membership why we need to spend the money on these resources, and hopefully that this presentation will help you do that. Local crime analysis, again, this is going to be like that purple that we're talking about. You're going to want to understand what are the kind of the crimes that are happening. Well, you know, are there a lot of drugs that are happening in our community? Is there a risk of violence in our community? Political or cultural messaging. Preachers today are going to be saying a lot of things that are not popular in the current cultural scheme, okay? And you got to be aware of what might happen when that message gets out to the community, they may not agree. They may want to come into your service and disrupt that service, okay? emergency response times. If it's going to take police or EMS a long time to get to you, you need to be aware of that. You need to be able to bridge that gap of how long it'll take for them to get to you. And then, I've already said this, but know the local laws and regulations, especially for carrying firearms. I operate in Texas, the church security team that I'm on. We have a lot more leeway for being able to carry firearms inside of our churches than you might inside of New York. Know the laws. I used to have a slide in here about the laws in New York, but it changes so often that I actually removed that slide. I didn't want to be out
of date. Anywhere.
So just make sure that if you are going to carry firearms or you're going to have your safety and security team carry firearms, you know the laws and you're understanding the risk that you're taking on, okay, with doing that. Okay, so we're moving to establishing infrastructure. This is the big takeaway here is these are all things that you can do before even recruiting a team. So if you're taking a look, like we saw the map there, and you're talking about, okay, I want to make my church more safe, more secure, what do we need to do? First, what I think is the most important thing, you need to have somebody who's dedicated to safety and security. If that means bringing somebody on staff, then try to bring somebody on staff. If that means that there's somebody who's willing to volunteer but willing to actually meet the requirement that the church has, you need to have a point guy. He's going to be the guy that's going to handle all these responsibilities. He's going to be the guy that reviews the team when it comes time to get a team. He's going to be the guy that is going to kind of manage that. So it's just like any other ministry that you have. You want to have a ministry head, somebody who's leading that. That may be the only actual individual or person that you have that's running point for security before you have a team for a while, especially if you're in a smaller church. But it's important to have somebody that's their focus. Okay, identify how and where you want general traffic to flow. So this is just goes to make sure doors are being locked when they don't need to be accessed, especially when you have your general Sunday gatherings. Let's lock doors that we don't want people going through. Make sure that they stay locked. Communicate that to the other teams, the worship teams, the usher teams, the greeter teams. Make sure they're not unlocking or leaving doors open that they don't need to. You want to control the flow of traffic so that you can know where people are going to be moving to. And if somebody's outside of that flow of traffic, that can be a red flag for you to pick up on. Limit vulnerabilities, so keep doors locked. You want to control access, especially to kids' areas and sensitive areas. And make use of security cameras if you have them. If you don't, I would suggest investing in something like that. Establish a communication plan. This is really important because you're going to be operating in an environment where there's multiple teams, multiple cells, usher teams, greeter teams, parking teams. If they're all able to communicate with each other, you've actually expanded your awareness as the point guy for security. The parking team may be able to pick up on something. If they can communicate with you, hey, there's some suspicious guy hanging out in his car, you don't necessarily need to have a security team guy out there. You now have the parking team that's able to communicate with you. So establish a communication plan via radios, via cell phones, however it works with you, whatever resources you have, you want to establish a communication plan. Communication is going to be key. Next is identify existing infrastructure and people that can assist. So, like I said, you may already have teams in place that can help contribute to the safety and security measures of your church, be it a parking team, be it an usher team, be it a greeter team. Ushers and greeters, they're going to interact with people directly, especially as soon as they enter the building. Empower them, teach them what they need to look for. They may be able to pick up on a suspicious individual. They may be able to pick up on somebody who is having a drug overdose, which happens a lot. That's going to be, I cover that a little bit more in my second session, but that's going to be something you run into a lot. Troubled individuals, mental illness, drug addictions or drug overdoses. Greeters and ushers will pick up on that and usually communicate to the security before security has a chance to actually see that. Okay, so empower them. And if they don't know what to look for, then it's on that security representative to teach them, train them, and empower them and be like, look, if you see something, let me know about it. Okay, so you may not necessarily...
You're saying it happens a lot in church or in the community and then they come in.
It happens a lot in the community and it happens a lot in church. Mm-hmm. Down at the church that I'm at, probably the biggest thing that we deal with are people with mental illness or people going to the bathroom and drug overdoses in the bathroom, okay? Come to my second session. I talk a lot more about that. All right, next, establish a relationship with your local law enforcement. This is so important, and I think it's one of the things that gets kind of tossed to the side pretty easily, especially in an environment here in New York where local law enforcement is stretched thin and they may not be able to divert resources to be at your Sunday gathering all the time. They're going to be a lot more likely to respond if they know who you are, you have an established relationship with them. So what can that look like? That could just look like simply that security team That security individual, that one that you've appointed, he's just making visits down to the local police department, bringing bagels and coffee. He's just, hey, my name is John Smith, and I'm from Mission Church down the street. I just want to introduce ourselves. Make sure that they know who you are, because if you have an emergency situation, you need them to respond. They're much more likely to respond and take that threat seriously if they know who you are, okay? Law enforcement resources are stretched thin, and they have to prioritize what they how they respond, okay? And if they know who you are, and that works the same with emergency services as well, the local hospitals and the local EMS dispatchers. If you can form a relationship with those people, that's gonna be key, especially in situations where you need them to respond. You wanna bridge that gap. If it takes them 10 to 15 minutes normally to respond to an incident, but they know who you are and they're like, hey, John Smith just called me, I gotta get down there, okay? Develop that relationship, and there's a lot of people that they want to operate their own safety and security team within their own building and never reach out to the community. The church is part of the community, okay? And we want to make sure that we're also establishing the relationships with the law enforcement mechanisms in our community. Some other considerations when making this analysis is maintaining a security infrastructure is more than just that security guide. There's a lot of measures that can be taken prior to, like I discussed. Be proactive, okay? Don't just wait for an incident to occur and then react to it. Try to anticipate, try to pick up on those red flags, and try to address the situation before it becomes a problem. We want to minimize impact on the normal gathering, okay? Something may happen out in the parking lot, something may happen in the lobby. What you want to do is make sure that that doesn't disrupt the normal proceedings within the worship center or the sanctuary, okay? Consult a security professional, okay? Especially if you're in the early stages of setting a team up or your team is young and you need to establish some of these countermeasures. What you need to do is really talk to a security professional, okay? In the state of New York, and I can give out some of my business cards to whoever's interested. Again, that's a licensed position, okay? Have somebody come in, have them talk. It will come with a cost, but talk to them. They'll be able to identify vulnerabilities that you may not necessarily understand or you may not necessarily see. They may be able to point out things that you didn't necessarily pick up on. Consult a security professional, okay? And stay up to date with what's going on in your community, okay? Again, watch social media, watch the news outlets, talk to local law enforcement. They're gonna be able to keep you up to date on what the major threats are and what's going on around you. All right, so once we've established that kind of security infrastructure and you've got your security cameras set up, you've got your point guy, now we're gonna get into kind of recruiting a team, all right? So big thing right here in the beginning, just like any ministry within the church, you're gonna have a process that you wanna follow, okay? And it's gonna be on that appointed individual to develop that process alongside the church leadership and the pastors, okay? I'm gonna kind of use what ours at the Village Church down in Texas, what our process looked like as a rubric. This will be heavily dependent on what you discuss with your church leadership. Have an application process, okay? Have them put down onto paper what their qualifications are, why they wanna serve, have them give their testimony. You wanna have an interview process as well. You don't wanna just go off of what you see put down on a piece of paper. Have them sit down, have them explain what their qualifications are. Have them, why do you want to serve? Why do you want to be here? You'll be able to dispel a lot of people that you may not want on your team just through that interview process. Pastor Greg, in his last session, he had talked about DNA, the DNA of somebody fitting in on a team. And that's really important on a security team, especially when things get hectic and chaotic. You want to make sure you have a team that can work together well. Some guy may have all the qualifications, but if he doesn't fit in well with the team, he can actually be a liability. Yeah. Okay, I have a background check process. Okay, we're trying to keep bad guys out. Okay, don't recruit one on your team.
Yes.
Membership qualification. Okay, this is going to be really important. And again, I think I'll hit it in a later slide here. You want to make sure that they're a member of the church. Okay, you don't want to be bringing. The only caveat to that would be if you actually have paid security guys that you're having come in. Okay, that just builds a level of accountability for them. They have some buy-in with the community, with the church there. You wanna make sure that they're members. And because they're members, they've already gone through a selection process to become members. They fall in line with the doctrine of the church. They fall in line with the beliefs and the vision of the church. You wanna make sure, especially with people that you're trusting with the safety of the church, you wanna make sure that they're aligned with those visions. And then an orientation period, you want to just have them kind of learn what the SOPs look like on your team, and that'll happen in that orientation period. Okay, some of the things to look for, church member, we kind of talked about that. They have good standing with the church. Make sure you have a dialogue with the church leadership. They may know something about that individual that might be a red flag that the security guy doesn't have. Good verbal skills. Okay. It is very easy as a security guy or that guy to just sit and brood in the corner, okay? Remember, this is your church family, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of the things we see, I especially see this with former law enforcement guys, or current law enforcement guys, they come in with that cop mindset where they just kind of have to like brood in the corner and I'm just waiting to tackle somebody. You kind of have to dispel that notion and realize that you're not a cop here. Yes, it's your duty to protect. Yes, it's your duty to defend. This is also your church family. And you're going to be interacting with the church membership and the people in the church a lot of times that are not in a safety or security manner. Somebody might just ask you where the bathroom is. Somebody may need help getting to their car. Somebody may need help opening doors, something like that. Be approachable. Be kind. Be generous. Have a smile on your face. Don't be Batman in a corner. Okay. Okay. Big thing is situational awareness. And this is something that why in that interview process it's going to be important. You want to make sure that that person is able to observe everything that's going on around them, digest, and be able to analyze what's going on around them, and then make adjustments as necessary. You don't want that person who is completely situationally unaware, or that person that's constantly looking at their phone. Yeah. Again, we're trying to pick up threats before they become threats. Okay? You're trying to pick up on those things before they become big issues, and you need somebody who's situationally aware for that. And there are going to be times when you have to confront something. There are going to be times you have to have difficult conversations with somebody. You want to have somebody that's not going to shy away from that. That also needs to be tempered with de-escalation, patience, kindness, okay? You don't want a situation to escalate because you want to be tougher than the guy you're talking to, okay? But there are going to be times that you need to be able to have a difficult conversation with somebody, okay? And somebody that again, can leave their pride out of it and could follow instruction. Okay, things to avoid. We've already hit some of these. You want to avoid new converts, new attendees, new members. You want to give them a chance to integrate into the church family and into the community before you start asking them to serve as part of your safety and security team. Egotistical, prideful, hot-headed. Definitely don't want somebody there who just likes the idea of having an earpiece in or carrying a firearm if that's something that you have on your security team, or likes wearing the fancy t-shirt. Okay, you want somebody who's there because they're actually going to serve. A lot of the duty of being a church safety and security, and this kind of is in all of security, is 99% of the time you're not going to be doing much. Okay, 99% of the time you're not going to get noticed, and when you do something that is in line with your duty and your responsibilities, you may not get appreciated for it. You may not get that pat on the back. People will just be like, okay, cool, I'm going to go back to my normal life. You need to be okay with that. And you need to have somebody that's not there trying to chase accolades, okay? Because that guy that's trying to chase accolades may actually cause an issue where then he can be praised later on, okay? So make sure you're trying to weed that out as well. All right, some qualifications. Again, these are going to heavily depend on the pool of people that you're pulling from, okay? So ideally, some law enforcement training, first responder training, military training. I understand that not everybody's going to have that, but you do want to set kind of a standard and make sure that your team is trained to that standard, okay? And again, that conversation is gonna be between the security representative and the church leadership. Experience in handling non-compliant individuals. Again, that just goes back to making sure you know how to confront and deal and de-escalate a situation. If carrying firearms, again, I'm gonna hit this a couple of times, make sure you know the laws. Make sure you're abiding within the laws and the licensing requirements for carrying a firearm. For medical and security positions, make sure they're licensed. For medical personnel, it's really important to have somebody on your safety team that is qualified to handle certain medical situations. Again, one of the big things that I run into while serving in my church is medical situations. Diabetics, people who drug overdoses. You want to have somebody who knows how to give Narcan in a drug overdose situation. Heart attacks, seizures, those types of things. Those are going to be the things that you're most likely going to be running into, not the active shooter, okay? So make sure you have somebody on your team that's qualified and able to handle those medical situations, especially if it is more of an emergency situation, you're waiting for EMS to respond. You want to know that that person is able to maintain that casualty until higher echelon care gets there. Member of church, we've talked about that. Past background check, we've talked about that. Okay, so recruitment process, again, the application. Application should prove that they have relevant experience, okay, and that they can explain why they want to serve. And ask about their church background, ask about their testimony, ask about those things that are important to make sure that they integrate well into the church family. I gotta move here, so there should be an interview as well. We talked about that. After the recruiters join the team, have an orientation process, training them up. Okay, posture. This is gonna be important now that you've established your team. What is your team actually doing? What does it look like? So, big things here. I pulled this from the Lakewood Shooting Church down in Houston a couple of years back. Yeah. As you can see, you've got five security team members and the one with the body camera, all facing inward, all talking to each other. Meanwhile, off the screen over here, there's a woman pulling a rifle out,
yep.
Okay? So they may have been able to catch up on that before she entered the building and pulled a rifle out. Don't let this be your security team. Don't just all be standing in a group, in a gaggle, talking to each other, okay? Phones, again, keep your phones put away unless you actually need them as part of your communication plan, and make sure you're integrating well with the other teams in the church. Team leaders should be briefing the team. Make sure that the team is up on all of the threats that they might face. If there's something unique happening in the church, hey, we've got this popular speaker, but he's pretty controversial. Make sure you guys are up on that. Make sure that the team leader is keeping the team up on what needs to happen and what the standard is. Leave your phone in your pocket. I already talked about that. Focus should be outward, not inward. Again, we're looking out into that yellow zone, trying to catch threats before they come into the red zone, okay? Be friendly and inviting. Again, you're part of a church family, all right? Don't brood in the corner. Integrate your team with other teams. Again, this goes to empowering those usher teams, those parking teams. Help their other eyes, okay? They may not necessarily be the security guy, but they do have that situational awareness. They can pick up on things and give them the ability and let them know how they can communicate with you. This is a big one, and I'm going to hit this a lot in the second session. Establish your standard operating procedures. There's too many teams operating out there that don't have a standard operating procedure. Mm-hmm. Talk to anybody who's been in a chaotic situation, okay, especially a violent chaotic situation. You can have all the knowledge you want and know how to do it, but if it's not trained into your body, if you don't know what to do, all of that knowledge is going to go out the window, okay? Establish standard operating procedures. In situation X, this is how we respond. If somebody has a heart attack, you're doing this, this is what the roles and responsibilities are. If somebody comes into the church with a knife or a gun, this is who's doing what, this is where you're gonna go, okay? That helps that process move along a lot quicker, and make sure your team is trained up to those SOPs. You're gonna use those SOPs as the foundation for your training. When you guys come together to train, that SOP book should be coming out. Hey, we're gonna run through active shooter protocol right now, okay? Everybody knows where they're supposed to go, we're gonna run through that. Once that's ingrained into you physically, if that happens, God forbid, in a real life situation, you're gonna react based on what your body has trained to do, okay? So don't just make it a knowledge thing, okay? It's important to know, but it's also important to train, and train to those SOPs. Some additional considerations, SOPs, training, be proactive. You should have at least one dedicated medic, okay? If you're a team that's operating without some sort of medical personnel, I would really encourage you to try to recruit somebody, be it a nurse, be it a paramedic, be it somebody that knows how to deal with those medical situations. Big thing, a lot of churches have schools now. Schools and churches may have different legal restrictions and certain, so make sure that if you have a school there, that you're operating within the same guidelines as that school and what the state says and what the laws say about operating when you have a school in your church. This is my final slide. Again, these are my resources. I've got business cards. If you guys want one of my business cards, yes, feel free to reach out to me. No. Send me an email. If you guys want this presentation, I can email you the presentation. Yes. I don't have a handout, but I'm happy to email you this. This is the link for the Family Research Council study. Again, I would really encourage you to dig into that. There's some really good information. And down here is the FBI Crime Database Explorer. That can give you some real-time data on the types of crimes that are happening in your community. They break it down by region, okay? So I believe that's my last slide, yes. Thank you guys so much.
Yes!
Thank you, David.
2 minutes to spare.